Thank you, sir. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Kind of glad I got to speak just in the nick of time because I had this message, and it's called Preparing for Passover and Unleavened Bread. So if I would have spoken 2 weeks, it would have been too late, you know. So that was a bit of a spoiler there, but that's my title, Preparing for Passover and Unleavened Bread. The world we live in now is so so ugly and so corrupt and so dangerous. This time of year, it's really important that we come out of it, that we pull ourselves out, that we do everything that we can to come out of it. God kind of put this spring holiday season in the perfect time. We come back from Feast of Tabernacles on a high because we're with the brethren for 7 straight days. We're living like kings and queens. Then the 8th day comes and then we all come back home. So we're on that high, and but then we get back into our lives and all the ho-hum of our lives, all the ugliness around us all the time. We can tend to, you know, dwindle back into that someplace that's lower than we need to be as God's people. And then this time of year comes along and we got to snap out of it. We got to get back to where we're supposed to be. Those of us who will be partaking of the Passover, it's extra important that we snap out of it. Get our heads in the right place. Do the things that we need to be doing. Preparing for Passover and Unleavened Bread. That's my title. The first area, and this is probably going to be a little bit different than I'm sure all of you have heard lots of messages on this every single year for however long you've been around. Mine might be a little bit different, I hope. But this year, it's the way that I've been thinking about it. It's the way that it's been coming to me over the last month and a half as I've been getting ready for Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread inside, in that deep place inside myself. It's just what I've been thinking about. The first thing I want to talk about is preparing our mind. We need to prepare our minds. And this year, what I mean by that, turn with me, if you will, to Exodus 13:3. And Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt." He reminded the people, remember this day. That goes for you and me as well. Remember this day. Remember the things that went down that made it possible for us to be here today. The things that God did, the things that happened, the story. Remember the story. Read the story. As we read the story, we shouldn't just read it as like we're reading a history book, although this is a very good history book. We need to be reading it as a book that's teaching us how to live, how to think, how to feel. And I want to accent how to feel. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus 12. Back up a little. Exodus 12, starting in verse 11. Exodus 12:11. "And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And again, all the gods of Egypt, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." That night, we can go on and read the story, and I believe that we all should. This time of year, we should be reading the story, the whole story. Every angle, every direction we can think of to read it so that it'll be inside of us. On that night, the 10th plague God came, sent the death angel to kill the firstborn of all of Egypt. 250,000 people are estimated to have died that night. If you just read past it, it's real easy to just read past it. All the firstborn were taken. God, all Israel was brought out. They were not harmed. 250,000 people died on the first Passover. All of their mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and grandmas and uncles, pets, everybody who loved them cried out that night and were agonized and tormented for how long after that? We see these mass shootings nowadays. This last one in Florida, 17 people died. All of their family. The whole world's grieving for them, right? I mean, we're changing laws. We're, you know, protesting in the streets and all this stuff. That was 17 people. A quarter of a million people died on the first Passover. When you read the story, I believe that it's put there, not, it actually happened, but it's there for more than us just to know what happened. It's to affect us. This time of year, we're supposed to be getting inside of ourselves, figuring out who we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it. Anything we're doing wrong, we're supposed to be getting it out. This story should affect us. If something that big happened so that you can be God's people, the responsibility on you is huge. The responsibility on me is huge. This had to happen. Otherwise, God wouldn't have did it. He didn't want to kill a quarter of a million people. It had to happen this way. And He did it so that I could have my sins forgiven. That's a huge responsibility for me. This time of year should be making us think of that. It should be affecting our mind in such a way that we want to get inside of ourselves, get on our knees, get in the book, and get it right. It should be affecting us. It's not just knowledge. That knowledge that we get from it should be doing something in here. Let's turn to Ezra 6, please. Ezra 6, starting in verse 17. Ezra 6 and 17, and they offered sacrifices. This was at the dedication of the, when they rebuilt the temple. And they offered sacrifices at the dedication of this house of God. 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. They assigned the priests to their divisions and the Levites to their divisions over the service of God in Jerusalem. As it is written in the book of Moses, and the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. They had purified themselves. You and I have got to go through the process of purifying ourselves, making ourselves able to be purified, getting ourselves ready to partake of the Passover so that we can drink Christ's blood and eat His broken body so that we can be redeemed. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. All of them were ritually clean, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs for all the descendants of the captivity, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. The children of Israel who had returned from the captivity ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. Separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land. Brethren, that's what I'm talking about. If any people in history have known what filth is, we should know. We are wallowing in filth day and night. It is around us. It's deeper than it's ever been. It's just disgusting. This time of year reminds us to remove ourselves from the filth of the land. We call ourselves God's people. Okay. What are we watching this time of year? What are we filling our minds with? What are we allowing our children to fill their minds with? What are we allowing to slip in? for me, it's a really serious, big question. There's so much. There's so much. All you young people in here, this time, you know, we're always talking about preparing for the Passover. You guys won't be partaking of the Passover. You're not baptized yet, but you are all in training. Anybody in here who is not baptized, you are in training. God did not put you in this room on accident. We're here. You're training to be God's people. Someday you will partake of the Passover. Whether it be in this life or some other time, you're going to partake of the Passover. This is your training ground. This is your time. This is that as we lead up to the days of unleavened bread, removing sin from our lives as God removed Israel out of Egypt to get them out of the sin and bondage of Egypt, get us out of the bondage of our own sin. Everybody in here, whether you're baptized or not, or however old you are, you need to be doing it. You need to be thinking about it. That's what this is about. Removing ourselves from the filth of the nation, of the world. This disgusting place that we live in. That's getting worse by the minute. The kids in here, I can't imagine what you're going through. I can't imagine being raised with all of the technology that you guys have. With all the absolute, the ability to get anything you want at any time. Young men, with all that testosterone going through your body, trust me, we understand. This time of year should be reminding you to get yourself away from all that junk. We've all been there. We didn't have as much junk as you did, but we were there. We lived through it. You are going to have a hard time, young men, young women. You will have a difficult time. You have got to use this time of year as what it's meant for, to draw yourself out of all that filth. It's everywhere. Kids get on the internet at school because they have to. And once they're in there, they're so good on the computer, they can do anything. Listen to what I'm telling you, folks. Anything they want. There's all the safeguards in the world are not going to keep these kids from finding a smart way around it. Kids, I'm asking you, I'm telling you, use this time of year to pray to God to help you remove yourself from the filth of this world, because the filth of this world is all around you all the time. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This time of year, we have to be looking to God to get us out of... Everybody in here has got stuff you got to work on. Everybody. I know I do. God is the only way. Lean not on our own understanding. Ask God to help us. Be in the book as much as we possibly can. If we want to live a godly life, we have to be putting godly things around us and pushing the filth away. That's why it says to remove yourself from the filth. It's nearly impossible. If you want to learn a foreign language or something, if you want to learn how to speak French, and learn how to cook French food, then quit your job, buy a plane ticket, pack you a bag, and go move to France. Go, and you don't even know anybody. You just move there. Just go to the airport and then catch a cab and do whatever you're going to do. You will learn how to speak French pretty soon. You will learn how to, in total immersion. You immerse yourself in something. If you want to know it bad enough, you got to get in it. Of course you can hem-haw around and learn how to speak a few words of French. But if you really want to do it, move over there. Totally immerse yourself in it. That's what I'm telling you, brethren. It is total immersion time. It is not time to take God's word in as an elective in high school. It's time to get totally immersed, pack your bags, and get into God's world. Immerse ourselves. We have to immerse ourselves. This is Satan's world. Don't get messed up on my terminology. This is Satan's world. We have to get ourselves into God's book, into God's way of life, remove the filth from ourselves. We have to totally immerse ourselves in every way that we can, every minute of every day. This time of year is that time of year when God helps us to do that. He tells us, remove sin from your lives. He tells us you must be ready to partake of the Passover. You have to tell me your sins. Confess your sins to me. Confess your sins to me and let me help you get them out of your life. That's what this time of year is about. We have to have our mind in the right place. To me, the story of this time of year, if you let it affect you inside, in the place where your emotions live, your emotions can guide you in a way that will help you understand the magnitude of this time of year. 250,000 people died so that you can have this time of year. So that you can have this reminder every single year. Use it for what it's meant to be used for, to get your mind and your heart in the right place. Totally immerse yourself in God's word, in God's way of life. That leads to my second part. We need to prepare our heart. We have to prepare our heart for Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread. And what I'm talking about this year when I'm saying prepare your heart, because this is what I've been thinking about. Remember what Christ did for us. Read that story. And don't just, again, read it as a history lesson. Allow it to get inside your guts. Allow it to get inside where your emotions live. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, starting in verse 63. Matthew 26, verse 63. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. The Savior of the entire world, the Creator of all things that have been created, they spat in his face. That's easy to read by it too and not even think a second time. How many of you in this room would be able to do what Christ did if somebody walked up to you and spat in your face? Slapped you in the mouth. How many of you would be praying for your Father to forgive them? I'm going to say that there's probably half of us would probably smack them back. I can't see any of you guys spitting on someone because that's disgusting. We would all be angry and we probably wouldn't go to that place that Christ did, where he eventually said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. I suggest everyone read all of chapter 27. We're not going to read it, but read it. And don't just read it to see what happened. Read it and let it get inside of you. Let it change your heart. When you see what Christ did for us, going back to, he knew you before he created the world. He knew every single one of us before he created the world. He knew all this was going to happen. And he did it anyway. Everything that he did, everything that we did wrong to him, the way that human beings treated him, the disgusting way that they treated him. Read it. Let it affect your heart. Before you partake of the Passover and drink the blood, drink the wine that represents the blood that was spilled out of him, eat the bread that represents his broken body that was broken for us. Let it affect you in your heart so that you can do the right thing and get yourself where you need to be. That's what I've been talking to myself about, and I hope to convey that to you guys today. Let it affect you in that place that makes you change yourself. In that place that makes you get on your knees and ask God, please help me quit being this way. In here. We all need it. We can walk around with these big dopey grins on our face all day long. But when it comes down to it, we need it. We need help and we need to be real about it. We need to get real about it. It's go time. It's total immersion time. We have to look way inside of ourselves and ask God to show us way more than that. Ask God to show us the inside of ourselves that we can't even see. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our desire to be in God's kingdom has got to be the most important thing that we do in this life. No matter how much you love your wives, your husbands, your kids, your grandkids, the one thing that has got to be on the front of our minds is the goal, the kingdom. If the kingdom is not the goal that's on the front of our mind, it's impossible to achieve it. The goal has to be there. You have to set the goal so that you can go after it. The kingdom has got to be the goal. This time of year is a time that's designed for us to come out of the world and get back in the direction towards the goal. We have to use it as that. 2 Corinthians 13, please. 2 Corinthians 13. Come on, fingers. 13 and 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Examine yourselves and test yourselves. Christ is in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This time of year is designed for us to remove the filth, to get out of the filth, remove the sin from ourselves so that Christ can dwell in us. When they rededicated the temple, everyone had to purify themselves. They were ritually clean. They cleansed themselves. This time of year, we have to cleanse ourselves. We have to purify the temple. Remove all the sin from ourselves so that Christ can live in us and flourish in us. It can't happen if we're not doing our part. That's what this time of year is designed to do, for us to examine ourselves, ask God to get all this stuff out, so that we can be the temple. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This is why I'm saying to you that we have got, this is not discerning the Lord's body. If we understand, if we allow ourselves to truly think of and begin to feel all the things that Christ went through, all the things that God went through, all the things that happened back at the first Passover, all the things that happened at the Passover where Christ was killed for us, allow ourselves to be affected inside of ourselves. Allow our hearts to be affected so that we can change. We have to want to change. God doesn't just change us. We have to want it. He will help us. We have to want it. I say this time of year, allow your minds to absorb it. Allow them to want to be changed. Allow your hearts to absorb it. Allow your hearts to want to be changed. The last thing that we have to prepare is our homes. I'm not going to spend a lot of time dwelling on what we have to do with our homes. And truly, I don't even know why I wrote this down, because I don't even think I read it last time. 1 Corinthians 5. Let's read it and see why I wrote it down. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Bible in the New Testament shows us that leavening is talking about sin. It goes hand in hand with sin. As we clean our houses, we're supposed to be removing the leavening from our homes, getting all the leavening out and eating unleavened bread for 7 days. As we're getting out the leavening from our homes, we have got to be thinking about the sin. We have got to be talking to our spouses, to our kids. We're going to be, the boys, this is going to be the first year where they get to help us de-leaven the house. We're going to actually start tomorrow, and we're going to be telling them the stories behind this. We're going to be going over it, the reasons why we're doing it, the symbolisms, many, many symbols during the days of unleavened bread. As we clean our homes, we have got to be thinking about it, praying about it, meditating on all of these things as we clean the leavening out of our houses. Otherwise, we'll have a really nice clean house and we will have done it all wrong. Which isn't bad. Your house will be clean. You know what I mean? It's a good time of year to go spring clean your house. That's cool. Everyone, your house will be better if it's clean. That's not what this is all about. What this is all about is doing what God tells us to do, desiring to do what God tells us to do. This time of year, removing the leavening from our homes, from our lives, is removing the sin from our hearts, from ourselves, getting it out, removing the filth, pulling ourselves out of the filth. Let's talk to each other. Let's talk to our kids. Let's talk to our grandkids. Let's talk to anybody who will listen. And make sure that we're getting our head in the right place, getting our heart in the right place as we're cleaning our homes. So we don't just have a really nice clean house with no fluffy bread in the refrigerator. Because that would be a shame. Brethren, it's go time. We're coming to the end of this age. As I look around at all of our gray, we're coming to the ends of our lives. Regardless where we're at in the age, it is go time. Let's use this time of year for, it's not just, you know, the world's celebrating Easter. They're dancing around picking up Easter eggs. Fun, fun, fun. Woo, woo. This isn't all about fun. God's feasts are about rehearsing the plan. A huge part of God's plan for you and me is to get sin out of our lives so that we can even be there. That's what this time of year needs to be about. So let's get our minds, our hearts in the right place, and let's have a wonderful Days of Unleavened Bread and Passover.